Continuing in Sugis and Maseches Pesachim, but as we draw closer to Yom Narai, I want to try to pick a topic that somehow relates. Next week I'm going to give up on Pesachim for a week. We'll probably just do Yom Narai. It's going to be our Rosh Hashanah already next Tuesday night. So we did a Sugya recently, and again, not a Pesach-related Sugya, but a massive Shas Sugya in Maseches Pesachim. The Mishnah of Samach Dalit goes through the process that they had for shechting the Korban Pesach. And the Mishnah starts off by telling us that they had Shalosh Kitos. There were three groups of people for the Shechita of the Korban Pesach, because they learned from the Pasuk, Kol Kahal Adas Yisrael, that there must be three groups, a Kahal, Eda, and Yisrael. So they fill up the Azara twice, and then the third time the stragglers would come in. So they'd have three separate sections of people doing the Shechita of the Korban Pesach. And then it describes how the Kohanim would all line up in rows. They'd all be holding Kalim, either gold or silver, but in the same row, not both gold and silver, because it had to look beautiful. So you wanted it all to match. All the Kohanim in one row would be holding silver. All the Kohanim in another would be holding gold. And what they would do is they'd have the dam of the various Karbanos put into a kli, because you have to do Kabbalah Sadam straight into a kli from the neck of the animal, and then they'd start passing that kli down the assembly line, down the row of Kohanim. Each one would keep passing to the next guy, to the next guy, to the next guy, instead of doing the more simple thing, which would be catch the dam, walk it over yourself to the Mizbeach, and be Zorik it. They wouldn't do that. They would have one Kohen pass to the other, pass to the other, until it got to the last Kohen, who would then throw it on the Mizbeach, and then he'd pass the empty one back, and they would keep on passing him back and forth in that way, till they were Zorik the dam of each and every Korban Pesach that was brought. So the Gemara says on Samach Dalar and Beis, in source number 2, Shachet Yisrael, the Kibbutz HaKohen. So first the Gemara says, Lo Sagit, the Lav Yisrael, why is it, it has to be Yisrael that shechs? No, Hagufa Kamash Melon, the Shechit, the Bazar Ksher. And that's telling us that Yisrael can shech the Korban Pesach, whereas he's not allowed to do the other Avodos. Kibbutz HaKohen, HaKamash Melon, Mikabbalah Ve'elch Mitzvahs Kuhuna. That from the Kabbalah and on, the Kohen is the only one that's eligible. No son of the chavero, so sham mina halach shlo beregel hav yehalacha. The Gemara says, oh wait, you see from the fact that the way they brought the dam from the shechita to the mizbeach was just by passing it, that halacha doesn't have to be by actually moving your feet. You can just pass it from one to the other. So says Gemara, no dilah hunayit porta. Maybe the last guy shuffled his feet a little bit, so there was some movement by foot, and that way he accomplished halacha. The elam mai kamashmulin. So says the Gemara, okay, but then what's the chiddush of saying that they would do this procedure of passing it along? If it's not teaching me that halacha can be done just by passing it, what is it teaching me by having this whole procedure of passing along an assembly line of Kohanim? What's the purpose of this whole idea of passing it along the line? Says the Gemara, ha kamashmulan b'rav am hadras melech. It's teaching us that the best way to do a mitzvah is by doing it with a lot of people, and that's why they would dafka do the Korban Pesach, even though it's probably not the most convenient way to have an assembly line. It might be more convenient to just have people running back and forth to run and bring it in Bizarik by the Mizbeach, but they would do this because of Berav Am Hadras Melech. So what we're going to see is that this concept of Berav Am Hadras Melech, first of all, it plays a significant role in halacha in many, many different contexts. Second, but the first thing I want to see is that Berav Am Hadras Melech does not always mean the same thing. Meaning, it means the same basic idea, get a lot of people involved, but what does involved mean? Get a lot of people to do what? So in this case, certainly in this case in Pesachim, what does it mean, get a lot of people involved? It means that there is the avoda of being molech the dam from the shechita to the zrika, and a lot of people are going to be involved in that. I wouldn't even call it avoda, because only the last one is doing an actual halacha. The guy who shuffles his feet at the end, he's the only one that's actually doing halacha, but they're involved with the korban in the middle of the avoda. So they're involved, they're actively involved in the mitzvah. So even though the mitzvah could be done by one person, apparently there's a maila, just do it with a lot of people. Get a lot of people to do the job that a single person could have done. And that's a great kavod to the Ribbono Shalom to do something like that. Similarly, we find the Gemara in Maseches Menachos, in source number 3 of Samach Beis Amud Aleph, the Gemara talks about how they would do the tenufa, the waving of a carbon shlamim. And the Gemara says that, the Gemara tries to figure out of the different parts that they would wave, the chaz of ashok, the fats, the lechem, the different parts that they would wave, what would go on top of what. And the Gemara quotes a bunch of psukim that seem to be close to each other in terms of what's on top of what. So the way the Gemara resolves the contradiction is by saying, well, something, if item A is on top of item B, and then I flip it over when I hand it to you, so now item B is going to be on top of item A. And when then you flip it over to hand it to someone else, so it's going to go back to its original order. So the Gemara says, no, all the psukim will make sense if you realize that there are just a few extra people being mixed in because they keep on handing it to somebody before they actually do anything with it, even though they don't really need to hand it to anybody. So the Gemara says, well, why would they do that? Why would they bring, and in the context of that Gemara, the way it works out in the psukim is that there must be three Kohanim involved. One hands to another, who hands to another. Even though they don't really need three Kohanim to do the job of lifting all these parts, doing the tenufa, and then burning it on the Mizbeach. It's not necessary to have three Kohanim. Why would you have three Kohanim, one guy handing it to the next guy to hand it to the next guy? Again, says the Gemara, Barav Am Hadras Melech. So over there it also means the same thing. Take a job that one person could do and get a lot of people to do it together, and that's a great kavod for the Ribbono Shalom. They're having a lot of people doing it together. Similarly, the Gemara in Yuma on Daf Chavav, the Gemara in Yuma Daf Chavav, which is in source number 4, talks about the different lots that they would draw in the Beis Hamikdash on Yom HaKippurim. So the Gemara says, Harvi Chadashim Mishanim. For the fourth drawing, they would have people who have done something already together. Kohanim who've already been involved and Kohanim who haven't been involved. No one was disqualified from this drawing. So says Gemara, Masnisin Dvok Rav Lezer ben Yaakov, the Tzarnu Lezer ben Yaakov Omer, Hamala Evarim Lakevesh, Hu Mala Osan Namizbeach. The Gemara had said that the Mishnah had said that they would do this fourth drawing of lots to determine which Kohanim would get to take the parts of the Karbanos from the ramp that leads up to the Mizbeach up to the top of the Mizbeach. So the Gemara says, who would get to bring it from the ramp up to the top of the Mizbeach? How about the guys who brought it to the Mizbeach in the first place? How did it get to the ramp? Someone brought it to the ramp in the first place. Why would you have a new group of Kohanim that would then take it from the ramp up to the top of the Mizbeach? Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says that Hamale Varim Lakevesh Hu Malos on the Mizbeach. Whoever brings it to the ramp should then continue and bring it all the way up to the top of the Mizbeach. So says Mar, what's the Machlokas about? Why does the Mishnah assume that you have a second group of people? So again, in that context also, we're taking a job that could have been done by one person or by one group of people, and we're just getting more people involved. And by getting more people involved, that's a great kavod to the Ribbono Shel Olam. By getting more people involved in doing a job that could have been done by one person. And in fact, the Gemara tells us in Maseches Sukkah that let's say you have a very, the Gemara, the Mishnayos go through the different parts of the Karban, how they would divide up the load of carrying the different parts of a Karban. I don't know if you've ever been in where they butcher an animal, where they cut up the different parts of a big cow. It's not so easy to lift a cow, to lift a dead cow, or even a sheep or whatever. It's a little easier for a sheep, but it's not so easy to a bull, let's say. So to lift the parts of a significant sized animal, it can't be done. You can't have one guy just like schlep the whole thing, especially after it's been chopped up into a bunch of pieces. He'd drop everything. So they'd have different people carry different parts. This one carries the hind leg, this one carries the foreleg. Okay, they'd have different people carry different parts of the animal. So the Gemara tells us that there was one very strong guy, the Benashal Marta Bas Baitus, would be notel shtei yerechos shel shor hagadol. He'd take the largest ox, and he'd be able to hold both thighs of the largest ox, and everything below the thighs also, presumably. He'd be able to hold them both at the same time. So would we just let him do that? Meaning, he could do it. So maybe let him do the job. He could do, if a man could do the job of two men, or the job of three men, maybe let him do the job of two or three men. So the Gemara says, v'lo hinichuhu achiv ha-kohanim lasos kein, mishum barav am hadras melech. They wouldn't allow him to do that. And again, this Gemara also very similar, except this one's a little bit different in that over here we're not talking about having more people do a job that one person could do. We're talking about not condensing a job. If it's a job that many people are supposed to do, don't condense it into one person. But it's the same idea, meaning it's not a bad thing to get more people involved, even if you don't really need their help, which in general, even without Hadras Melech, even without the idea of respecting the Ribbono Shel Olam, a lot of times that's a good idea, to get more people involved, even if you don't necessarily need them, to allow people to feel like they're involved. But it sounds like this over here is not psychologically to make everybody feel better, this is actually kavod for the Ribbono Shel Olam, to get as many people involved as possible. Where does this play a role in Halacha? Where do we ever do this kind of Baravam Hadras Melech, where you have a job that can be done by a smaller amount of people, but we dafka do it with more people than necessary? So this is not the most common form of Baravam Hadras Melech. I mean, what do we think of when you think of Baravam Hadras Melech in Halacha? We think of,
Kiddush
HaChodesh. Kiddush Levana, right? Kiddush Levana. We go out and we dafka do it on Motzai Shabbos because there are so many people. That's not a lot of people doing a job that one person can do, because if one person does Kiddush Levana, I'm still not Yotze. I still need to do it myself. That's a matter of getting a lot of people together. So that's not this, right? Where else do we have Mikra Megillah, that you should go to hear Megillah in a large group? Because again, everyone has to hear Megillah, but doing it together as a large group, that's what we normally associate Baravam Hadras Melech with. This is a very unique kind of Baravam Hadras Melech. Where do we ever do this? Where do we ever take a job that one person can do and just start getting other people involved and hand things off unnecessarily? It's in more Gemaras than any of the other types of Baravam Hadras Melech. So what do you mean by bris?
They pass the baby around.
So, meaning the kvater, right? They have, a lot of times they'll have several kvaters, and they'll keep passing the baby up to the front of the room. So there is a tshuva in Rav Menashe Klein, in his Mishnah Halachos, was asked about this minhag, that they would give the baby to many people, and they would announce each one as a kibud. So he says, l'chora, that would be a kiyum of Baravam Hadras Melech. But, he says, he has one little issue with it, and that is the Gemara says at the end of Maseches Erevin, Daf Tzadi Zayin and Beis, that if a woman is yalda besada, if a woman gives birth out in the field, so we say, if you bring it into the baby, how do you carry the baby into the city on Shabbos, right? So the Gemara discusses, well, maybe just have a bunch of people line up, and have one person give to the next person, to give to the next person, to give to the next person, so nobody will be carrying the baby, dal and amos. So the Gemara says, that's not such a good idea with a newborn, de kasha la yada. You don't want too many people handling a newborn. There are all sorts of germs, and you don't want a newborn to catch some sort of virus. Just not a good idea to do something like that with a newborn. So Rav Menashe Klein says it's a little shver that we have such a minhag that we let so many people handle a baby at a bris, because so he says maybe it's because of their samech on shomer mitzvah lo yedu davar ra, that someone who's observing a mitzvah, nothing bad is going to come of it. It's interesting. He's bothered by that. He's not as bothered by metzitza pepeh, by wearing sterile gloves when doing a that he wasn't as bothered by. But over here he has a makor in the Gemara. The Gemara says that you shouldn't have so many people handling a baby. It's a very interesting question. Not really for now. We discussed recently a little bit about whether a mohel should wear gloves or not. At what point do you say that an increased risk of infection is enough to say that it rises to the point of safek sakana? I mean, every bris milah is a safek sakana, and there's no way to completely get rid of the possibility of some sort of virus or some sort of infection. What we do is best practices. And doctor will correct me, best practices pretty much minimize as much as possible. So we use sterile gloves right after you open the package to minimize as much as possible. Nothing. So if you were to ask a doctor, which I've asked a few, I didn't ask you, but if you were to ask a doctor, how much of a difference is there? What exactly percentage-wise is the increased risk of doing, let's say, a bris milah without gloves versus doing a bris milah with gloves? There aren't really numbers, hard numbers they could tell you. They'll tell you that it just makes sense that you would want to, right? That it just makes sense that you'd want to do best practices and increase and decrease the risk as much as possible. So for, apparently, that minimal increase in risk of handing the baby off from one person to the next is so small that Baravam Hadras Melech overrides it. Now, Baravam Hadras Melech l'chora, if this were at all an issue of safek sakana, if it was significant enough to even be called a safek sakana, Baravam Hadras Melech would not override it l'chora. So that's one example. Another very common example that happens even more often than the bris example is mentioned by the Arzarua. In source number 6, the Arz Arua writes, Asher Sha'altem Sheshimon Mocha Biyad Ruvain. Here's what happened. Shimon got upset at Ruvain. That happens all the time. Shekana, why? What did Ruvain do so bad? Shekana Minakal Lahotzi Sefer Torah Me'or Nakodesh Ulusita Biyad Shliach Tzibur V'chein Lachzira. Because Ruvain paid, whenever they auction this off, in Simchas Torah or whatever, whenever they auction Psicha for the whole year, Ruvain had the chutzpah to buy Psicha, so he's the one that opens the Aron and hands the Sefer Torah to the chazan. How dare he? What did he do wrong? Vamos halol bav mekishal tzedakah. The money all goes to tzedakah. What did he do wrong? V'shimon mocha shel lasos kein mreishi he mitzvah shel chazan. Whose job is it to bring the Sefer Torah to the Bima? It's the Chazan's job. What's Reuven getting mixing in by taking the Sefer Torah out and handing it to the Chazan? What, the Chazan can't take it out himself? He's right there. He could just as easily remove the Sefer Torah by himself. So Shimon got all upset at Reuven. How dare he pay money to take the Chazan out of part of the process? So says the Azrua, Vada ilu lohay yachal likro Sefer Torah ki imhu azhu zocha. I'm sorry, he says, Nir Bein Shaloki Vin Yafa also Shimon. He says, Shimon's wrong in this taina. Shaibema Zacha Bachazin. What makes the Chazin have the right to take the Torah out of the Aaron? He says, if he was the only one who knew how to read it, so then he would be Zacha with the mitzvah. Aval Hashla Shiachal Achal Likros, Maisim Bachal Yom, Shiruvin Mispal Shachris, Shimon Kore, Levi Mispal Musav. You'll notice in many shuls, they have one guy daven Shachris, another guy will lane, another guy daven Musav. Right, that's the way it normally happens. Every you go to an out-of-town shul every once in a while, you'll have like one guy who's doing everything. The guy who knows how to read Hebrew is the one that you know. The one who knows how to lane, the one who knows a little bit of nusach, is the one who does everything. But in a place where there are people who are capable of leading davening, so you very often split it up. In Cain, heich lomar shezachavah. So what do you mean? Why does Reuven have the right to take it out? And then he quotes our Gemara that the Kohana would be Nosin lechaveru vechaveru lechaveru, and that was great because of Baravam Hadros Melech. So he says, so certainly that would be the case over here as well, that the Chazan to have someone else hand it, the mitzvah of taking the Torah out to read from it, should each get as many people involved as possible. Yes, it's possible to do it with fewer people, but it's better to do it with more people because of Baravam Hadros Melech. Parenthetically, he mentions this idea that we always, all the time, have different people. We split up the tefillos of the day. We have different people daven different tefillos. There is one exception. The Ramah quotes a minhag in Shulchan Aruch that the guy who daven slichos in the morning should also daven shachris. So the Magen Avraham says, because hamaskel b'mitzvah om lo gemar. When someone starts a mitzvah, you tell them to finish off a mitzvah. So that already, the Achronim are bothered by that. What do you mean a maskul mitzvah from Lugamar? You don't tell the guy who daven shachris that he should lane, and the guy who lane to daven musaf. You don't have, we never say maskul mitzvah from Lugamar and things like that. Do we ever do that? That we say have the same guy daven through the whole day because the maskul mitzvah from Lugamar? Normally we do like the Arzura says. We split it up. And Adrabah, that's better. That's Provam Hadras Melech. So Salvejik has a very nice vart. He has a very nice insight. I'll call it more of an insight than a vart, because I don't think it's just a vart. I think it's really, it's MS, that when it comes to slichos, a lot of times people have a fundamental misunderstanding of what slichos is. People think that normally we have three tefillos a day, of shachris, of mincha, of ma'ariv, and slichos is a fourth tefillah they have during the day. It doesn't have Shmona Esrei, but you have this fourth tefillah that you say during the day. And if a person wants to be inspired, let's say a person's very busy, he's on call in a hospital or whatever, and he's only going to be able to make one tefillah, so if he can make it to slichos, so great, let him inspire himself with the slichos. But Salvech says that's a fundamental misunderstanding of what slichos is. With slichos, the role of slichos is to be meratza HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to sort of ask Hashem with a little extra begging to accept all of our other tefillos. It's sort of a hakdama to all the other tefillos hayom. An introduction lacks any meaning if it's not introducing anything, if there are no other tefillos hayom. Meaning, the slichos is only as meaningful as the rest of the tefillos that day. The slichos is asking Hashem. He says, very similar, there's one other example where we have such a tefillah. He says, very similar to tefillas ne'ila. A lot of people think that if you can only make it to shul, women sometimes, if they can only make it to shul for one tefillah on Yom Kippur, they'll make it for tefillas ne'ila. Even if they can't daven any other tefillah, at least still be able to daven Ni'ilah. He says that's also a fundamental misunderstanding. Ni'ilah is the tefillah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should accept all the rest of the tefillahs of the day, but if there were no other tefillahs of the day, then Ni'ilah is not the one you want to do. Ni'ilah in the context of everything else will help bring along all of the other tefillahs. So that's why dafka by slichos we say a maskil b'mitzvah amr l'gemar, because it's really the same mitzvah. But by any other, by shachris versus kriyas haTorah versus musaf, well, we certainly split that up. There's no baravam hadras. I mean, there's no inyan of maskil mitzvah amr l'gemar. We say baravam hadras melech. Let as many people be involved as possible. So that's one type of baravam hadras melech. There is a, let's take a look at a second type. There is a Mishnah in Maseches Bikurim, source number 8. There's also a little bit in Yonad Yom. We just read in the Parsha this past week, right? So I guess it counts. The Mitzvah Bikurim. Ketzad Malanes HaBikurim. So how would they bring the Bikurim? The Mishnah is described, the fanfare that was involved in the bringing of the Bikurim. There's a whole parade. They would bring these fruit baskets and parades of people, and everyone would stop what they're doing and line the streets and cheer them on as they're coming down with their fruits to Yerushalayim. So the Mishnah starts describing the process. Where does everybody meet that they're all coming at the same time? Meaning in order to get a parade to come, it's like if you've ever been in Eretz Yisrael on Shavuos night. So, you know, there's very little learning. You learn for a couple of hours, but then you got to start heading to the Kotel for Vasikin. And, you know, it takes an hour to walk to the Kotel, wherever you are. It's going to take a little while. Not wherever, but most places where you might be, it's going to take a little while. So you start walking an hour before Vasikin, and you start walking in a small group of a couple of people, and then as you keep getting closer, the group gets larger and larger because more people are coming from all angles, and somehow everyone, because everyone knows exactly what time to come, they're all coming at the same time for the same thing. So that's at the end, it's thousands of people all coming at the same time. But what did they do by Bikurim? They made up a time. They said, okay, at 9 o'clock, everyone should be there, and we should all. So the Mishnah says, no, it's not what they would do. They would come the night before. They were to the Maimed. The Maimed is they divided up Klal Yisrael essentially into 24 groups that corresponded to the 24 Mishmaros of Kohuna. So they had 24 members of groups of Yisraelim, and the place where the Rosh HaMaimed lived, his city was the center, was the focal point of that Maimed. So there was 24 regions in Eretz Yisrael around these cities where the Rosh HaMaimed lived. So everyone from that Maimed would go to that city, to that central city, and the Mishnah describes V'lanin b'rechov shalir. They would sleep in the town square. They wouldn't sleep, they wouldn't have hospitality in people's houses because they didn't want to risk tumah. If you're in somebody's house and then someone dies in that house, so you're going to become tameh from the mace, you don't want to risk that. So they would sleep out in the town square. Then the next morning they would get up and they would announce, let's all go together to Beis Shem Elokeinu. Why couldn't they just go when they went? Why do they have to all gather together the night before to all go at one time? So Pashtus is, this is Baravam Hadras Melech. This is the more common type of Baravam Hadras Melech. I mean, this Baravam Hadras Melech is not a job that could have been done by one person and we're just getting more people involved. Not everybody's, every farmer has his Bikurim that he wants to bring and that he has a mitzvah and a chiyuv to bring, so he's got to bring it. The idea is collaborate with everybody else so you're all doing the mitzvah at the same time. If you can get a lot of people to do mitzvah that they're going to do anyway, but have them all do it at the same time, that's also a kiyum of Baravam Hadras Melech. So where do we find such a concept of Baravam Hadras Melech? So that's what the Magen Avraham writes on the side of the Shulchan Aruch. That if a person, let's say, has an option, it's wintertime, and it's Friday night, and he lives really far away from the shul, like an 8-minute walk, you know, like he's it's going to be very, very difficult for him to walk all the way to shul. So he decides that he wants to have, I'm talking about a healthy person, so he decides he wants to have a house minion. So what's wrong with having a house minion? So he's going to have a minion. What's any problem with having a house minion rather than davening the shul? So the Magen Avraham writes that afal pi sheyachol espal bebeiso basara, even though you can daven in your house and have a minion there, mikol makom baravam hadras melech. But baravam hadras melech would demand that you go to the larger shul. As long we're going to see later, the post can discuss if it's a shul where there's a lack of kavanah tefillah, or it's you're not comfortable davening there, you're not going to be able to have kavanah. That's one thing. But if it's a shul you daven at all the time, and it's just a matter of convenience, so baravam hadras melech certainly wins. You got to go to the larger crowd. I remember I once had I sent out an email about I think I mentioned something about someone who was making a house meeting, and I mentioned as an aside, this is against that it's against the halacha that the halacha is brava madrismel. I don't know if I described exactly. I don't know if I gave the sifkat in the Magen Avraham. I just mentioned that it's against the halacha, and someone sent back not to me but to someone else who then forwarded it to me. Really, against the halacha? Come on, give me a break. You know, something like that. Like. You have to. I understand that certain things sound strange if you don't know anything. I mean, if you don't know what it says in Shulchan Aruch, but if you know what it says in Shulchan Aruch, so then it's a little less strange. The truth is, this Magen Avraham is a little bit strange in the sense that he chooses to focus on Bravam Hadras Melech as the issue. It's not pashut at all that that's why there's an issue. The more likely issue, or the more obvious issue in choosing to daven bebayis as opposed to Beis HaKnesses, is Kedushas Beis HaKnesses, that you want the advantage when you're davening in a shul to have Kedushas Beis HaKnesses. That's a makom kavua l'tfila, even if you're not going to daven with a minyan. Another halacha a lot of people aren't aware of. Let's say you missed minyan. So better to daven be yechidus in shul than to daven be yechidus at home. Right, better to daven in a makom that's kavua for tefillah. This is a discussion the Tamidei Rabbeinu Yonah have in the Gemara in Brachos. The Gemara says that one of the Amoraim showed off. I think it was Abaye that said that I would only daven ben yamudi hechadavu garsi. That I would only daven where I learn, because b'makom tefillah, that's going to be the best place to daven. So what's the kunz? What's the big chiddush that he would only daven where he learned? So Rabbeinu Yonah quotes from the Balei HaTosfos that he means to say that even without a minyan, he thought it was better to daven without a minyan in the place that he learns, better than to go to shul where there will be a minyan. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Oev Shar Mutzianu B'Halacha, he loves a place where people learn. But the Rambam says that no, he's talking about only if there's a minyan. If there's no minyan, obviously, it would be better to go where the minyan is. So frekt the Rabbeinu Yonah, Vim Tomar, Kivan Shabbat Asara Hayim Espalim, if there's going to be a minyan where he learns, or a minyan in shul, so what's the chiddush that he would daven where he learns? He says, I daven in my little base medrash where we have a little minyan, we have a kailul there, I learn there all day, so I daven there with a minyan rather than going to shul. A big chiddush. What's the chiddush? Of course, if there's a maila to davening where you learn, and there's a minyan in both places, so of course you should daven where you learn. What's the chiddush that you're going to daven where you learn? So says Rabbeinu Yonah, no, the chiddush is Baravam Hadras Melech. That you might have thought that even so, the maila of Baravam Hadras Melech is a greater maila than davening in the place where you learn. So Kamash Malan, that davening in the place where you learn is a more important maila than the maila of Baravam Hadras Melech. But anyway, so that's one application of this idea of davening in a place where there's a larger group of people. Everyone's got to daven anyway. Daven where a lot of people are davening together, and that way it'll be a fulfillment of Baravam Hadras Melech. There is another application of this in the Gemara. The Gemara Maseches Brachos and Daf Nun Gimel, in source number 13, the Gemara tells us, Hayoshin bebeis hamedrash, the Braisa, Hayoshin bebeis hamedrash. Let's say a bunch of people are sitting in the beis hamedrash on Motzai Shabbos. An unlikely sight in most yeshivas on Motzai Shabbos. But anyway, Viviu Arlef Nehem. And all of a sudden they bring, no one has said Bori Mori Ha'esh yet, and they bring in a fire, so they could say Bori Mori Ha'esh. So what's the best thing to do? You have a lot of people sitting around the Beis Medrash. Is it best for each person to go over to the fire on their own schedule, say Bori Mori Ha'esh, and then go back to their learning? Or is it better to have one person make the bracha for everybody? Bori Mori Ha'esh, everyone will answer Amen, and be Nana from the fire. So Beis Shammai Omrim Kalecha Ve'echad Mevarich La'atzmo. Beis Shammai says, everyone will make their own bracha. Beis Hillel says, Echad Mevarich L'kulan. Mishum Shneema Baravam Hadras Melech. One person will make the bracha for everybody because of Baravam Hadras Melech. Says Mar Bishlam Beis Hillel Mefarshi Taima El Beis Shammai Mai Taima. Beis Hillel, I understand, Baravam Hadras Melech. Why would Beis Shammai say each guy should make their own bracha? One guy's in the middle of the Taisvus, the other one is at a good stopping point in the Sugya, so everyone should have to stop at the same time. It's going to be Bittul Torah for people. It would be better that everyone on their own schedule, and they need a breather anyway, they'll get up and they'll make the Bari Mori Ha'esh. That's Beis Shammai's whole Chashbin. But he doesn't deny the Maila. Let's say they weren't learning, let's say they were playing cards, let's say they were, I don't know, schmoozing. So the Beis Shammai L'chor would agree that, yeah, there is a Maila of Rav HaMachinel to have one person make the bracha for everybody. Now wait a second, if one person makes a bracha for everybody else answers Amen, so everybody's getting a kiyum of that bracha, right? They're answering Amen, Shomea Ka'ona, they're being Yotze, that bracha. So what kind of Baravam Hadras Melech is this? Meaning they're all together in the same room anyway. And it's either they're all going to do the mitzvah individually in the same room, or they're going to be yotze with one person doing it. So this is a little bit of a different kind of bravam hadras melech. It's not about do I daven myself in a smaller minion or do I daven in a larger minion where there will be more people together, therefore a greater kiddush Hashem because more people doing the mitzvah at the same time. It's about doing the mitzvah as a group, meaning not just a group of people doing a mitzvah, but doing a mitzvah as a single unit, as a group. Having one person make the bracha, everybody else answer amen, that's a mitzvah that is done as a group. And that itself seems to be Baravam Hadras Melech as well. That's why the Kesef Mishnah writes that if a person, this is a discussion in Hilchos Kiddush, you go to someone's house for a Shabbos meal, so very often they'll say, would you like to make your own Kiddush? So what's the right answer? Well, what would you like to is your opinion, but you know, is it halachically better for you to make your own kiddush, or would you prefer to be yotzei with the balabais? So sometimes you'll say, well, wait a second, it depends. I don't know if I hold of your shear of revius and the coast that you're using. I'm going to want to use, but assuming everything that he's going to be yotzei, he's using wine and everything. Yeah, he's going to so the chaladeos. Is it better to make your own kiddush? So this is a discussion in the Achronim. So some of the Achronim say mitzvah bo yosem yibishlucha. Better for me to do the mitzvah than rely on somebody else. It's a little bit of a misusage of the terminology. When someone else makes kiddush for me and I answer amen, he's not my shaliach. It's shomea ka'ona. Shaliach would mean I'm not even there. A shaliach would mean like I send somebody on a mission to go do something and I'm not there and he does it for me. It doesn't work that way with kiddush. I have to be there. It's shomea ka'ona. But a similar type of concept. Better to be actively involved in a mitzvah yourself. But says the Kesef Mishnah, no, you see, based on this Gemara, that Baravam Hadras Melech tells us, better to have one person do it for everybody. That's Barava, that's the Maila of Baravam Hadras Melech as it plays out over here. Want to say something? No? In fact, not exactly a parallel, but the Ramah in Shulchan Aruch, when the Shulchan Aruch goes through what kinds of situations where you have people having a meal in proximity to each other, when they can bench separately and when they have to join in a zimun, the Ramah says if they have the right to join in a zimun, even if they don't have a chiyuv to, Baravam Hadras Melech tells you that you should. That's a little bit of a different Baravam Hadras Melech, because over there you're actually enhancing the mitzvah, meaning you're enhancing the mitzvah in a way that's more than just that you have more people doing it. It's actually a qualitatively different mitzvah. You're actually doing the Birchas Hazimun. So maybe a little bit of, it's not just Birchas HaMazon done by many people or done by one person on behalf of many people. It's actually an enhancement of the Birchas HaMazon. But this is most commonly applied to, like I said, to brachos, that if one person can make the brachos for everybody else. So the question is, why don't we do this by all Birchas HaMitzvah? When you go to shul in the morning, so you put on your talis, you make your own bracha on the talis. You put on your tefillin, you make your own bracha. Everybody else is putting on the talis and tefillin. So it's a little bit difficult because not everyone's doing it exactly the same time. But why not? Shavuos morning, you have a guy who puts on the talis, makes a bracha for everybody. Why don't we do that every morning? Have one person make a bracha for everybody else. Or take a different case. What about, the Shaila, one of my talmidim asked me, right after he got married, he was thinking through his family menhagim, and he was because he had to be clear on all of his family menhagim now that he was getting married, starting his own home. So he said, my family minhag is that when my father makes hamotzi on the Lechem Mishnah, he then gives a piece of challah to everybody at the table, and everybody makes their own hamotzi on the challah. So is that, he wanted to know, is that a minhag toz? Is that a mistake? Is that wrong? Or is it a proper minhag? Is it a valid minhag? Does it come from somewhere? So I'm very hesitant to right away just say minhag toz, even though that was my knee-jerk reaction would have been minhag toz. Why? Because everyone has a chiv of Lechem Mishnah, and the way we're mekayim Lechem Mishnah is by listening to the person who's making the amotzi on the Lechem Mishnah, being yotzi with that amotzi. If I'm making my own amotzi, it means that I'm being yotzi now on this one piece of challah, not on the Lechem Mishnah. So I found that there were many communities in Europe that the minhag was exactly like this, that the minhag was that everybody at the table would make their own hamotzi. Why would the minhag be like that? So there's an interesting tshuva in the Melamed Lahoil, where he discovered this minhag about everyone making their own hamotzi at the table. In fact, I was talking to a friend of mine who became very close with Rav Asher Weiss, And he told me the first time he went to Rav Asher Weiss's house for Shabbos, he was like in shock, because he thought that he wasn't being medactic enough in the halacha. What halacha wasn't Rav Asher Weiss being medactic enough? Rav Asher Weiss is a chassid. So his minhag was that he would wash and he'd make the lechem mishnah, and his wife wasn't even in the room yet when he said the hamotzi. And he would cut her a piece of challah. So by the time she got to the room, she had her piece of challah waiting for her, and she would eat the piece of challah and make her own hamotzi on the piece of challah. So I can't believe it. How could he do such a thing? Is she even yotzi lech? She's chayv lechem mishnah. Women are mechuyavos in lechem mishnah, right? So how could he do such a thing? So maybe there is a source for this minhag. So let's take a look. If you look in source number 20, the Malavim Bahomil, it says hine b'medinas ungarin in Hungary. Ra'isi noagin sha'achar shebirich balabayis birch samotzi b'shabbos nosim prusa l'kalechad me'ochli shulchano mevarich kalechad liatzmo. Everyone would make their own bracha. Hagamki abalabayis kvar hotzi es kol ha'masubim yidei chavos lechem mishna b'brachaso. Even though the balabayis was motzi everybody in lechem mishna with his bracha. Ve'natiru ve'nai b'medinas ashkenaz hadromis rabim noagin shemonimus b'nei beisom elavarich achkach me'ach shabalabayis hotzi yidei chavosim. But in Germany, they stopped everybody from making their own bracha. The Baal Bais made the bracha, and that was it. The Gamma Lomri Siachre Roi Kigambi Birchas Leishiv Basuka Motzim Esam Subim Al Shulchanam. And in Germany, the minhag also was by the bracha of Leishiv Basuka. The Baal Bais would make the Leishiv Basuka. Everyone would say Amen. So it motzi everybody the Shomea Ka'ona, and that's it. And they wouldn't make their own bracha. V'nei Mitzaradin Yo'usein Avdin Al Pi Shulchanor Chorchaim Sim Kuv Samuk Zayin. So he said, I want to know if this is right. Is saying your own bracha going to be a problem of a bracha levatala? So look at the tshuva. Hine k'minag ungarin, the minag of Hungary, came gamkin minag Poland v'Ruslan. The minag that everyone would make their own bracha, that was the minag in Poland, then it was the minag in Russia. V'chein, it couldn't have been in all of Poland and all of Russia, but it was the minag in many, many places. V'chein noag in Gamberov Ashkenaz, and you should know most of Germany was that way also. U'kvar nimtzo limud z'chus hazel b'shulchan aruch ha'rachayim shalagon marin Rav Shner Zalman Zatzal. In the shulchan aruch ha'rav, he has a limud z'chus, and v'zel l'shon, this is what shulchan aruch ha'rav writes. V'sim kub samach zayin sif yuches. V'kol makom shekvi usa mo'eles l'tzar from the bracha. Anytime people are kaveh themselves to connect for a bracha, mitzvah she'echad mevarech l'kulam v'lo kalacha b'fnei atzmo mishum shenemar b'rov amhadris melech. One person should make the bracha for everybody because of b'rov amhadris melech. U'mikol makom rashayim him l'kvo yachar al das shalol itztarit. But you're allowed to sit around the table and have in mind that you're not connecting with everybody in a single bracha. So how did this minhag develop? You're allowed to, but why would you do that? Because they couldn't keep everybody quiet between the bracha and the eating of the amotzi. Wait a second. If people are talking after they washed, before they eat the amotzi, don't they have to wash again anyway? So the answer is no, that's not a halacha. There's no such halacha. You don't have to wash again anyway. You have to wash again if you talk after you wash before you made your al netilas yadayim. Before you made that, everyone does. That people think is no problem. They wash their hands and they're still schmoozing until afterwards they dry their hands and say al netilas yadayim. That's against the halacha. That absolutely you would have to wash again. But after you wash the al netilas yadayim, went on the netilas yadayim. So it's best not to talk. You want to connect it to the hamotzi as much as possible. If you talk, do you have to wash again? No, you don't have to wash again if you talk. But so people would talk, and if they were talking after the Baal Bais made the hamotzi, before they got their piece of challah, so that's going to be a problem. Then the hamotzi is not going to connect to them. So they would dafka have in mind that everyone should make their own hamotzi, that they shouldn't connect on the hamotzi, and it's still a kiyum of lechem mishnah. Why? Because this was part of a lechem mishnah that was made the Kavod Shabbos. So that's still a kiyum, a lechem mishnah. Who says that your bracha has to be on the lechem mishnah? You're having a piece of the lechem mishnah, and that was still a valid kiyum of the lechem mishnah. But that's the tut stadim. This brav amhadras melech is what he goes with as the other tzad, is the reason to have one guy be motzi everybody.
They all got individual whole roles.
No, they got a piece.
What about a shalim issue? Isn't there a rule that you're supposed to have?
You should make a bracha on a shalim. But I guess if the chashash of the hefsik was significant enough that they were willing to sacrifice that halacha, yeah, that's taka a problem. That's a sacrifice that they made, apparently. Yeah, that's a real issue. And just to list one last type of Barav Am Hadras Melech, we didn't get as far as the whole outline here, but one last type of Barav Am Hadras Melech, the Gemara in Yuma Daf Ayin tells us that the Mishnah says that it was impossible to see the Kohen Gadol when he would read from the Torah and also see the burning of the Par and the Sa'ir. And the Gemara says, not because it was usur to see them both, just because they were at such different parts of the Beis HaMikdash that you couldn't physically see them both at the same time. So the Gemara says, not because it's usur. Why would it be usur to go see from one to the other? What would be the problem of, what would the isur be? The Gemara doesn't understand. So the Gemara says, that I might think that you're not allowed to leave witnessing one of these events, like the Kohen reading from the Torah, to go witness the rest of the Avodah. Why would I think you're not allowed to do that? Because you can't leave a mitzvah. But I'm not doing the mitzvah. The Kohen Gadol's doing the mitzvah. It's not me. Why can't I leave? Says the Gemara, my mitzvah? What's the mitzvah that you're leaving? Barav Am Hadras Melech. So here you see a third type of Barav Am Hadras Melech. First type was, even the job that could be done by one person, get more people involved. But everyone's involved. Second type is, if everybody's doing the mitzvah anyway, have them do it together. Third type is, even people who aren't doing the mitzvah, witnessing the mitzvah is Barav Am Hadras Melech. Just seeing it happen is a kiyum of Barav Am Hadras Melech. Okay, stop there.